Buenas tardes.
Hi, good afternoon. We're going to commence the press conference of the film of the official section. It's outside the competition. Bicicleta, Cuchara, Manzana. We've got with us Carlos Bosch, who is the director. Diana Garrigosa is the vice chairman of the Pascual Maragan Foundation. Jolie Bern is the producer. Antonio Folguera, who's also one of the executive producers. We've got in the front row also the rest of all of the protagonists, shall we say, of the film. They're all, I'm sure, awaiting your questions. So therefore, the first question, here in the front. Hi, good morning. Paul Lignard in Frankfurt in Germany. I want to congratulate the director for this film, which is a very intense and emotional film. Well made, and I think the most important thing is that it should be more well made, artistically speaking, because it's a work of art. But I have another question beyond that, that we Germans were talking amongst each other as regards the possibility of exporting the film, because we see very little of the impoverishing of the state of health of the patient, because for all of us here who live in Spain or in Catalonia, we know who Pascual Maragall is, who is a public person. He's a public figure, we could say. For many foreigners, it would be very difficult to understand what's happening with this person, because we don't see much of how ill he is and how the difficulties he's encountering. And I would like to know whether it's an issue of discretion on behalf of the director of leaving that to one side, or whether the disease or the illness has not advanced so much. That's something that I would like to know. Well, thank you for your remarks. Well, the disease has advanced, but the thing is that upon this disease, I think that there exists a certain cliche of what Alzheimer is in other fiction films, and I'm sure that in many other documentaries, this disease has been seen as of the cliche. When I say cliche, I mean what is always seen as regards the disease, and quite fortunately, which is not the state in which Pascual Maragall is in vis-a-vis his illness. He was diagnosed right at the beginning, very early on in the disease. We thought we would follow him for a certain period of time until we considered it, we felt comfortable, and that he understood 100% what the film was about and why the film was being made, and that this film formed part of his struggle and fight against Alzheimer. Having said that, a short while ago, we showed the film to different family member association, for the fear that perhaps we'd not gone far enough or come up short. We've come up short enough is that Pascual Maragall remains with his illness. But the truth is, it was a good idea to stop filming. They had the feeling that as of that moment, and there exists a certain amount of pudor, that is to say, there's no moment, well, obviously these people are suffering, they're not, you know, what the family is suffering, and even more so if the state of the family member is much more advanced. We thought, or it seemed to us, that it was sufficient, because that was his reality. And in any case, it's good to break down with all of these clichés. Since the disease is diagnosed, until that degree that we've seen in many, many films, quite fortunately, there are a series of stages through which the patients go through, and in which Pascual Maragall is at this present moment, that he can enjoy life and his family can enjoy him as well. Can I add something? I would like to add the following, and that is, what we wanted to make was a film with regards to Alzheimer, not with regards to Pascual Maragall, or a film on Pascual Maragall. It's quite very useful that Pascual Maragall is a well-known person, a well-known figure, and the film, therefore, has a lot more to it. But the film, as we should not forget, deals with Alzheimer, and not only with the Alzheimer that we normally people know, which is the Alzheimer of very ill people who are dependent or completely dependent on others, but on the Alzheimer patients who are still independent without obviously presenting the other people that are dependent. That's where that's how it goes. There's another issue, for example. And I affirm what Carlos just said. We're not making a film. We can't, above all. What I mean is, if we want to make people aware, the audience in general, the public in general, or the scientists, university audience, young people, elder people of the world, what we've got to, as soon as possible, do something about it. We can't wait for 10 years. 2 years have been quite good in order to have sufficient information. And we also believe that our intention from the outset in the foundation was for the foundation, and also transferred into to the director and the promoter of the film, the producer, sorry, she corrects herself, of the film, for it to be a film which is valid for everyone. Because what we're showing in this film is that there's no cure anywhere. And in every country, the same thing is happening, important countries. It's a film that has to be international. That is to say that we want the Germans to understand it as well. Hi, good afternoon. A question for Diana Gargosa. This is a film which is therapeutic, shall we say, for those that have had an Alzheimer patient close to them. And I ask myself that for you as a family member, whether it's been so or where it's been a burden, has it been a pain or a sorrow? And also another question is, how is Pascual Maragall, whether he likes the film, whether he thought it was fun or interesting? Yes, he likes the film. He would have made it much longer. He misses a lot of things. We've had to make sure that we've had to, well, obviously edit a lot of things out. He's seen it quite a lot of times, and he wouldn't see it several times. He said, if you get tired, please leave the cinema. And he wanted to watch it all the way through to the end. And what else did you ask me? Whether it's been therapeutic for you. Well, the issue of this burden, it's quite obvious that there's a burden. I'm not too sure whether this is clear in the film, but it's everything we say is spontaneous. All of us, my children, I, myself, and our collaborators, with the director, who now and again asked us a question, but quite often because he's following us, and that's quite a burden. That is a burden. Thank God that Carlos is a friend of mine and we allowed him to do this, but I can assure you that for a non-professional, my husband knew what it was. I work in computer science. I've got nothing to do with art, the art industry or the film industry. I have nothing to do with it. And the fact that they're following us to this party or that other party, and you've seen a little bit of it, but there are many more hours of footage. We could have gone further in depth through our trips to Las Vegas and many other places that don't appear in the film because we had to concentrate things and reduce it. So at the end of the day, the film has been a burden, but with a great compensation, which is today, here, being here today. This is a great compensation. But also, linking to what I said before, we would not have been able to put up with much more. And my husband's disease, is it a burden? Well, yes, it is. It's something that is brought along by life. I didn't believe that life would bring along this negative moment for me. But what we're trying amongst us all is to turn it into something that's not that bad at the end of the day. Let's say it's not good, because there are many things that we can't do. He's okay. He's not here because he's preferred to go with his granddaughters to go for a walk and to look at his friend Recalde, who he's seen. He said, "Oh, you guys go to the press conference. I'm going to go with Maya, my granddaughter, for a walk." But you've seen him. He's His presence is very, he looks very well, he wants to do things, he's good humoured, he's very kind and very affectionate, and we enjoy him. Hi, good morning. First of all, I would like to congratulate you for the film, because it seems to me a necessary film. Films of this nature, that the people who are in silence, the patients, poor people, unemployed people, these are the people in the society who don't have a voice. And it's more necessary, especially in the times of ferocious individualism, and we don't have a social awareness. That's the truth. But on the other hand, I do miss something which is very important, and that is that's the social projection of Pascual Maragall. It seems to me does not reflect the reality of what happens in families who have got Alzheimer patients. These people are much more dependent, and I think that it's necessary, just like the disease is reflected, that we should have reflected, or you could have reflected, the lack of social assistance that the public powers provide, be it the state or the power of the autonomous or regional authorities, for example. I'm talking about the law of dependence, which was passed in 2006, a law which is not being implemented directly, and undoubtedly what's behind it is an economic cut which has been carried out. And I understand that we can't carry out an integrated vision of this in your film, but it seems to me that we're missing this in the film, what the issue is as regards to the support of the public powers, especially as regards to social benefits. Thank you. Well, I'm great. I'm glad that you've said it. I think that this film is a tool, and as such, that's how I've made it. I hope it's a tool for the foundation, Pascual Maragall, but I hope that it's a tool for everyone who feels like to get things going vis-a-vis Alzheimer, in the same way someone could miss, and they'd be right to do so, that I don't say what the ideology of Pascual Maragall is. Obviously, I think that it's quite evident for everyone that it's an ideology which is quite interesting, and any person outside this country will be able to understand it. But the option of eliminating things that were excessively local, it might be true, what you said is true, but it may not be true in another country, or it might be 10,000 times much truer in another country. So therefore, in this sense, it would have been something negative for a drawback for the film, for example. The film should have not only going to be a film as regards to Pascual Maragall. When I get the order, I don't want, it's not an ordered film, it's not an order, but when I get told to do something, or the idea of doing something as regards to Alzheimer's disease in parallel to the great pillar of the struggle that Pascual Maragall announces, when he announces the foundation, which is the pillar of his struggle against the disease, another little pillar, and I hope it's a big pillar, will be this film to support him. It's quite clear that we have to, I think, the film has to move, and to move everyone, because otherwise we've got no right to do it. And I think, I know we've been a pain in the neck and a burden at sometimes, and sometimes it was very hard to feel that I was a pain in the neck, but it was quite clear, well, it doesn't matter, but at least, well, I think that sometimes it's our obligation, and sometimes we journalists shoot at us with real bullets, and we don't realize that, well, we are necessary, and we have to try to go as far as possible, and even in some cases, taking options. And if this film is not useful for anything, why have we made it? And the decision of what is a film which can be useful for something, or how to make a film which will be a box office hit. And we have the feeling today that something has taken place, something has occurred. Unfortunately, well, there are two questions, and I know that there are things missing. People have said, well, this usually takes place in San Sebastian in the press conferences. But the answer, time will tell, will give us the answer. I think we've had to sacrifice things in benefit of scoring a goal in the corner of the goal. By the corner of the or at the corner of the goalpost, or just in the corner. So, can I add something? I would like to say what he said, but shall we say a bit harsher. It's a film in which the political aspect shouldn't have got involved in the political side of things. politics as regards to the treatment of dependency, perhaps we might be able to make a film, but this wasn't the film that had to do with that subject matter. And another thing that I would like to say is that that he's not a pain in the neck, because he's not a pain again. No. We're very good friends. And we're very happy. And we felt we were all in the same boat, despite everything. And today we felt that we're all in the same boat. I can assure you of this. I know what I wanted to tell you. The other aspect, how the family relatives live when there's a dependent Alzheimer's disease patient, I would justly say the following. That's what we've tried to avoid, because several films have already made upon this. There are many films that deal with this issue and that have given the impression that an Alzheimer's disease patient is a person who's completely dependent, or the truth is he walks out into the street and the first thing they do is get lost. They get lost. And the idea here was to try to say, well, okay, we're making this film from the standpoint of a foundation that wants to establish a center, set up a center in order to get researchers together. We've got a scientific project, which is very significant. All of this is highlighted in the film. But we explain things, shall we say, so that people can know things that don't emerge or appear in those films that deal with the family or relatives of patients that have Alzheimer's disease, which are more, they're like recited comedies. That's the thing. We've not even read a single line of any script. That's the thing. We have demonstrated our family quite a lot, what we feel, at least in this initial stage, which hadn't been described beforehand in the initial stages of the disease. Yes, each case is a specific and individual case in Alzheimer's, but it's not a disease in which the family, the people that accompany him are of fundamental importance. So I'm a journalist. I've spent many years making all sorts of 30 minutes in Tuve Tres. For 25 years, I made a lot of documentaries or films, and the idea was to explain five or six cases together, and I knew that it wasn't possible to do five or six cases in the film. Not even with 100 cases can you manage to achieve the true range of what Alzheimer's is. Each case is a specific case on its own, and to have the fortune or the luck to have a protagonist like Pascual Maragall, I saw quite clearly that it wouldn't be good for the film or to Pascual Maragall if we explained another three or four cases. Some of them are a bit more glorious, shall we say, or some others, and many, and I hope the viewer or the audience is sufficiently intelligent enough to understand that Pascual Maragall has some advantages, and he's also got some disadvantages. Yes, I think the film is quite moving. I think this is very powerful, and the main virtue, it's how natural it is, not only the ones that you demonstrate, but how you deal with the subject matter per se. Ana Barrigoso, we've coincided in the cinema with Pascual Maragall quite often, and whether you saw clearly from the outset the potential of cinema and the value of cinema to undertake once again a project along with Pascual Maragall. Given the potential that I'm seeing now, it was far from my expectations at that time. But we said yes, we thought it would be useful, which is what we want, obviously, for it to be useful.
Aquí en la segunda fila.
Second row, there seems to be a question in the second row. Hi, good afternoon. My first question is for Diana Barrigosa. I would like to ask you, the film addresses it, but it doesn't develop it in the film, and that is that Pascual Maragall was going to subject himself to a treatment of certain tests or medication or medicines, whether this has been the case, whether he has advanced at all. And the director, I would like to ask you, in the film there's a moment in which Pascual Maragall asks for everyone to leave the office, and he leaves. He's there on his own with you, and that's the moment when you show the photo that he makes, that he takes in front of the mirror. I'm not too sure whether this was a significant change or a moment that should be highlighted, or as your relationship with him as of that moment, as regards to the film. I would like to answer the question that you asked Diana Garrigosa. This film ends up in quote-unquote inverted commas, like many films, and the clinical tests as the beginning. No, they're not at the beginning, they're at the end. And it's quite at the end, so therefore there is a quote-unquote inverted commas, so therefore anything that I as a director can tell you would be to violate something or infringe upon something which is a medical secret or confidential, is confidential from a medical standpoint, and there are many things that I don't know, and I think it's great that these have been hidden from me throughout the film, the making of the film. Vis-a-vis what you've said, your second question, I realized from the outset that it made no sense to tell him, Pasquale, I'm come here to interview you upon your disease. Well, let's talk about this, let's talk about the other thing. No, it wouldn't work. He didn't feel like talking about the disease. But it is true that he gave to the film, and I think involuntarily, but many times quite voluntarily, he gave us pearls. A pearl. He'd given an award in Sitges. He couldn't go and receive it. And he called us up. He said, well, as you've got a camera, why don't you come along? I'm not going to go. Whether I can say thank you through the camera. And he gave a message. And then what happened. The camera could have gone down or fallen. But I think I would have maintained the sequence. I think it's great what he says there. All of a sudden, I realized straight away that I couldn't base the film upon interviews upon his medical state or situation. I want to take full advantage of this moment now. You didn't ask me. What I realized all of a sudden is that I had a value, an enormous value, which were people who were brilliant and very sincere people in front of the camera. As of there, I realized that I already had some pillars to base myself on. And then I had to turn it in the type of documentary that I make is to wait for the chronology to take place, a logical chronology, a timing. In fiction, when one thinks in a script, you go, well, okay, this story that I want to tell is a month in the life of this person, or it's a night in the life of this child who's on his own. But in our work, in our documentary work, which involves a lot more money for the producers, you don't know what is the perfect timing, whether perfect timing exists, or perfect chronology. Well, as regards to the clinical tests, I'm going to get out of it as just like Carlos did, just as well as he did, but trying to remind you that the film, it is explained in the film. My daughter has a very clear intervention in which she says, it's going to be very difficult that he may not form part of a clinical test. And another, it's important to know, that of all of the clinical tests that have made it all the way to phase three, or stage three, that is experimenting with human beings, there are none, or there is no test yet which has been successful for how long? At this present moment, there are 2,000 or 3,000clinical tests being taken, carried out all over the world. They take groups of 2,000 people in stage three, phase three, or first phase one, phase two, and phase three, which means that this works with animals. It doesn't create any side effects. So let's carry out a clinical test of this product with human beings. There's no clinical test which has found a solution to this disease or illness. That is why we're optimistic, because that's why we're optimistic in the sense that not because there's no solution, which would be the poor way out. But I think that we're taking a path, that taking the path that we should seriously take in the field of research, that we can't be carrying out research in 24,000 places all over the world and nothing was going to emerge. Something different has to be done. And the project that he has in mind, and it's been written out in very detail with Dr. Camille has, is a research center, which is a special research center in which we have a lot of hope. We put all of our deepest hopes. Okay? And we hope to come to some solutions that will go beyond phase three, phase four, or whatever the phases that are necessary, okay? From a cinematographic point of view, for the moment of the most dramatic tension over here, okay, is when Pasquale asks for to avoid overprotection, and Eudeliana says that you're losing dependence, precisely. And apart from a dramatic moment of tension, I imagine it's the big debate and discussion, and to which all family relatives who have a patient in an initial phase, like Pasquale has. Diana, I would like to know whether you have any idea whether you've gone through of how to solve that conflict in the initial stages. Well, that's just the case. That's what I say in the film. We've got to find a solution. What I explained in the film is that I realized that there was a dead-end alley, and for my husband, and I obviously, I was going to help him, and help him as much as I could, but I've got to have my space as well. And I have them, and I look for them, and I seek them. My life cannot be only with him. Well, what happens is, well, I'm very fortunate because I've got some, my children are always helping me. We've got a lot of friends. We receive a lot of aid and a lot of help. And that I don't have to go with him walking down the street every day. There are other people that can do that. And they want to do that as well. Okay? And that's it, simply said. So therefore, I have a solution. I've got this solution of having him present. But, and my children also give me a hard time about this too, by the way.
¿Qué pasa?
What more? Hi. Please stand up. For the director and for Mrs. Garrigosa, for the director, over the 2 years and where you've placed the camera in the private life of Pasquale Maragall and his family, what is the most important life lesson that you've drawn from him as well as from the family? And for Mrs. Garrigosa, I would like to ask you, with everything that you've talked about, the possible solution to this disease or illness, perhaps, I feel you look a bit pessimistic. Pasquale in the film says perhaps in 10, I'm not too sure, 20 years' time, we're going to end up overcoming, finding a solution to this. Do you think the same, or you're still a bit more pessimistic? No. It's still something unbeknownst to us. And the field of research, what's the word you like to use? Serendipity. It's like serendipity. You need to work. Obviously, we need work, but we also need a bit of luck to be at the right place at the right time. And so, therefore, Pasquale may say in 2020, or it might be solved in 2015 or 2500. So, therefore, we have no idea when the solution is going to arrive. But this, it doesn't make us feel pessimistic. It makes us feel optimistic. That's what I was explaining a moment ago. It makes us feel optimistic, and it makes us be very proactive, so to speak. We've got to do something. We can't just sit back and not do anything. And that is something, it's a horrible pity, and I think about this every day, the people, that it's a couple, it's an elderly couple, they're retired, or retirees who live on their own, who have got no people around them, and they've got very few friends, and one of them all of a sudden gets Alzheimer's disease. And the other partner has to take care of them. And that's a drama. That's very dramatic. This is a dramatic that you were saying that you were missing in the film. But these exist, and I think of these people every day. This is incredible. And I'm sorry, I've lost the plot. You asked me about whether I've learned something. Well, I think that in documentaries, and it's happened in other, in my previous films as well, when I see Balseros, for example, I still see things that I hadn't noticed before. That is to say, the fact that we're filming reality can all be that sometimes when I see Balseros, my film, and not 7 years ago, I've matured, if we can still mature, that is to say, or I've gone through other experiences, which all of a sudden means that I see my film with another look. When you film a documentary, you're involved, you're stuck in a tunnel, and you're knocking about all over the place. You don't know where you're going, and your professional life experience makes you go, not following all of the different possible paths, albeit we've filmed things that don't go anywhere at the end of the day because of a mistake in my calculations, or because we were really not going anyway. But you don't know, for example, you can't plan what's going to happen at all. So therefore, I'm sure that I'll still learn things. I've learned things today. I've learned things when people applauded today, and I've seen myself applauding Pascual. And nothing else occurred to me. That's to say, I couldn't imagine anyone applauding me, for example. So you learn things, you go through emotions that are given at different moments. And also I could tell you that where is that magical moment, which is the luck we can have in our profession, and I hope to have that talent, and that makes us all of a sudden, makes people open up. And to explain things to you, and to explain these things to you in a very sincere manner, or sincerely. For this has surprised me on the go, on a day-to-day basis. The interviews, for example, that level of, it's a human level that I already knew it in a majority of the cases, but I never knew that they were going to give us that enormous play in front of the camera. I think, perhaps, well, a film reviewer said today, which I value, I said, your film is a love story. And I said, perfect, I'm glad. It's good to hear that. It's quite possible that people with other experiences in life may not see the love story. Maybe they'll see other things. But imagine, it must be very difficult for a fiction director to create emotions. But for we documentary filmers, it's much easier. Yes, I would like to ask, what public activity is Pascual Marigal carrying out, whether he maintains his office or his team, public events or speeches, and also I would like to know what phase the foundation is, what have been the latest steps and the next steps that you're going to be taking in the foundation? Pascual has his office. He goes to his office every day. He's usually quite punctual. If he spends 2 days without going to the office because he's had to travel somewhere, he's concerned because he says, if I don't go to the office, what's going to happen at the office? So then the office, quite often, he doesn't do too much there. But he goes to the office. At the office, what happens? Well, in the office, we receive requests of all types of requests, for example, visits, people who want to see him, people who want to talk to him, proposals, people who come to ask for advice, a bit of everything. And so therefore, obviously, there are certain things that we said yes to last year and we can't follow through on it this year, and other things that we can say now or at present that perhaps in a couple of months' time we're not going to be able to follow through. The most difficult case is to come to an agreement between all of the people that take control his agenda. That is, everyone has their own field of work in order to to decide what he can and cannot do. 3 days ago in Barcelona, there was a stupid controversy as of a misinterpretation that the La Vanguardia newspaper journalist made upon an interview of this summer. They interview him, he did this interview, and this interview, quite simply, they ask him about what would happen, and he carries out a political prognosis, and that has come out in a piece of an article in the newspaper as if he was of a Convergencia Union political party militant. Before the piece of news or the article coming out, he had written a text that he wanted to come out in the newspaper, that they didn't want to form part of the newspaper, in El Periódico, which is El Periódico in Catalonia, which is a newspaper. And on the following day, the article appeared in the newspaper, and it's an article that he wrote on his own, and it's fantastic. And he starts off by saying, it seems that now everybody wants me to be from Convergencia Unión, that political party, and he gets involved in that sort of, that line of thought, and he said, well, listen, my party, I don't have to change my vote. I follow my party. Some people, when they get into electoral campaigns, they don't understand that you can talk and to be the friend of Mr. Artur Mas, which means that you have to follow his line of thought or vote in the favor of a party that, this, that, and the other. And that's all I'm going to talk about politics, by the way, today. But when you said, what does he do? Well, he does. 2 days ago, he wrote an article, a great article for the newspaper, but a great article, a very good article. And in other days, because this disease goes up and down, and there are other days, he attends a conference accompanied by a person who's with him and helps him. And he's saved, thanks to the fact that he's got this companion accompanying him, because that day, the ideas don't emerge in his brain, so therefore, he's unstable, we can say, within. A general stability, so to speak. He goes and play table tennis. He does specific things. He goes and to pick up his grandchildren at school. And this is after the office. During office hours, he wouldn't go. So, and then he attends conferences. We go a lot to the cinema. He's got to have things on his agenda. He needs them. He's always had an agenda with him, what he's got to do on that day, on a given day, and if he's got a sheet which has nothing written in it, he gets very nervous. Amongst us all, we manage to have things on his agenda, and that he does end up doing things, and that's the way it goes. And I think it's very late. One more question, it seems, and we'll finish. One final question for Carlos. You were saying that you didn't understand why you should be applauded, and Pascual, yes, he should be applauded. We know why we have to applaud Pascual, because we recognize a character that we didn't know him so openly from what we've seen on the screen. He's opened up a character who's a marvelous character who you transferred to us through the screen, but there are a lot of applause that should have been for you, because I think it's the best film that you've made up until the present moment, and you were talking about the issue of interviews who have very charismatic protagonists who facilitated, made things easier for you to film, but also to a certain extent it is true that they make it easier for you, but the truth is you become a great, a real monster vis-a-vis interviews from Balcedos, that you were doing things quite well, always to Norma and Septembers. Up until now you may have the material, but you are able to manage and extract the timing that not everyone's got the talent to do so. The question that I wanted to ask you is the decisions of all of these narrative lines, because you've got the Alzheimer, the foundation, the line of the explanation with international experts, the line of Pascual's evolution. At what time do you decide to do this quite curious thing is to join all of the doctors together on a TV set and to follow another narrative line. Why do you do this, and why do you believe it would be the best way to do so? Well, thank you very much. Thank you very much for what you've said. And the truth is, and as you've personified, I think that people were applauding, if I can say, the quality of the film. And I think, in any case, I could take it as such. But it was quite clear in our mind, all of us that are here, that we had to make a great film. We don't know what making a great film means or for each of us, but it's either we made a great film or what the hell were we getting involved in this project for? Why are we going to bother? Why are we going to bother him? Not as because he was a public figure, but because he was a person and his environment who were opening up to us. I think that the applause, and I say this sincerely, I think it's obviously for the producers, because the audience understands that behind this, there is a super production in this film. And I'm convinced it's an applause to all of the people that speak on the film. It's an applause for the director of photography, to the different camera persons, because there are several, there are scenes without which I'm not too sure whether this film would exist. And one is from one camera person or another camera person. And there's a concept of the photography, and obviously there's a soundtrack. There are people that understand that there's great background music, and I think this is necessary in our work, and in this film more than any other film it was necessary. There had to be an envelope, a first division envelope, so to speak, and this has been developed on the go. This was invented on the go, and quite fortunately I did get my wings cut off. The producers didn't cut my wings off or cut the investment. But as I said before, there's no perfect sum of different cases in order to explain Alzheimer's. And we drew the conclusion that one single protagonist and the supporting actors, who are super actors who surround him, which is his family, how can we make this understood to the audience? Any universal film is local from the outside. Why can't a film be universal whose protagonist is a guy from Barcelona? But having said this, what has to be made clear is that his drama goes in parallel to millions of other dramas. So therefore, it's not only do we have the chorus situation that at a pertinent moment, part of the protocols of detecting the disease or the detection that it may encounter problems more than the disease in itself, which is a basic test which gives a title to the film. For example, other protocols, the explanations of how a clinical test was carried out. This was something that emerged from the outset. That is to say, we've got one single protagonist, but in certain things, in that which is common to everybody, let's go and shoot this. I don't know, perhaps 4 or 5 or 6 months. We were already shooting for 4 or 5, 6 months. And when we saw that the path that the film was taking, the documentary film, is like a baby, that what you can do is just like tell it to go this way, don't go too far to the left or to the right, but the baby, and you got to follow the baby like people follow a baby to see which, and it takes you whichever way it wants to go. And at a given moment, we were quite fortunate, because in this process of creating the foundation, Pascual Maragall, or Pascual Maragall Foundation, I think it's a foundation which emerges with the idea, and it can't be any other way, because Pascual Maragall is behind it, that for it to be one thing, that it should be a first division foundation. In this process of creating the foundation, in Barcelona they called a think tank of people who knew about the disease with the idea of revolutionizing the research. They invented a group, number one experts, and we were going to have them in Barcelona. And even, quite fortunately, at the end of, it's a narrative turn, at the end of the film, you realize they're not people that have fallen out of the sky, fallen from heaven, but they've had a logic within the chronology of the film itself. So therefore, the idea, I had never filmed with cranes or anything, and there are many people amongst the producers and scientists, image scientists, who helped us, and I think it worked. What I can say is that if we review the texts, I know, even in documentary films, and I hope this will change in the future, the Ministry for Culture, tell me if I'm wrong and if I make a mistake, they ask us to write a script so that we can receive subsidies, we've got to write a script. Imagine that. I mean, imagine. I don't know whether they're going to get a kiss themselves on the right or on the left cheek, if you catch what I'm saying. So we've got to prepare a script. That sometimes it is useful, more or less, to know which, more or less, which way you're going. And I think I defined the film that we already existed. The idea of the film was like a novel that you read. You start, you read, which captures you, and it has its own chronology. And within that, and at given times in that novel, imagine a novel where there was an asterisk or a number and a footnote which, trying to not lose the magic of the novel, you could look at the bottom and say, scientist says that XYZ 23 pi, and go back to the novel very quickly. And that was already at the origin, but the way we've filmed it, as it had to be a parenthesis within the novel, we wanted it to be the biggest parenthesis as possible vis-a-vis the making of the film. Okay, thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen.